at the time, so we went to them and said, the 286 is, you know, it's a reasonable processor, you just screwed up the pinout, because nobody could make a reasonable computer with an address bus and the data bus coming out of the same pins. But if you gave us the core, and we did our own pinout, maybe we can make something of this processor. And they said, get lost. So we said, well, you get lost, we'll do our own. And that's the only reason why the ARM exists. If at the time, I think they had worked with us on doing our version of the 286, so we would have never bothered doing the ARM. So what were the great advantages that we managed to give to the ARM team that Intel and National and many of the others didn't have? Well, there were two key advantages. One, that Acorn managed to give the team, that Intel and National never managed to give their teams. And the two advantages were no people. So this was the only microprocessor that was ever designed basically by two people, by Sophie and Steve, and then backed up by 12 people that finally spun out to form ARM. So it was an incredibly small group of people. And the second big advantage was no money. So there was no way this could be a very complex processor. And we were very lucky at the time that there was a revolution happening in microprocessor design called RISC, Reduced Instruction Set Computer. And this was actually an invention that happened in the United States by Stanford, by people at Stanford and at Berkeley. And it's one of those rare occasions where an American invention was first exploited in Britain, because normally the story is the other way around. And the first available RISC computer in the world was actually the ARM here in Britain. And so the result of that was the world's smallest microprocessor. It had the same number of transistors as a Z80, which was the most popular microprocessor at the time. I think it was about 30,000 transistors or something. There you go. An interesting side effect of this was that it was very, very low power. It held the world record of MIPS per watt for a very long time. So although it had the same number of transistors as the Z80, it was actually 20 times more powerful. And that's the property that finally made Nokia adopt it. So what happened is that a design aspect, which was not part of the original design spec, we did not set out to produce a low-power microprocessor, but because it was so small, it consumed so little power. That was the reason, finally, why it was adopted by the mobile phone companies, and now it has a 95% market share. So I think these are the two main legacies of the BBC Micro. One is that we have a whole generation of software programmers and computer scientists in the UK that learned their trade on the BBC Micro, and the second one is probably ARM. Thank you very much.